I will start with the perspective of a lawyer handling trafficking cases on behalf of the victims, of course. And we have several problems and several challenges dealing with this kind of cases. The first one is to earn the victim's trust, because when you come in person with the victim, most probably the victim does not trust you at all. And this is the result of the brainwashing that the victims are getting before even getting at the country destination from the trafficker, that they can trust no one. They cannot trust the police, because they have been told that all police officers are with the traffickers. They cannot trust the judges, because the judges are also with the traffickers. And they cannot trust even the lawyers, because the lawyers are bad people and they won't help them at all. And you know, I don't know about other countries, but in Greece, and I will speak only for the lawyers, not for the judges or the police, the victims that have come to Greece, they have seen lawyers helping the traffickers. You know, mostly all women or girls that have been trafficked to Greece for sexual exploitation, they have been working in such places, and in order for this to be safe for them, the traffickers issue false passports for them, false IDs of a European country, and with this they also issue them a clearance from the police that they can work legally as prostitutes. And through this whole procedure, unfortunately, and it's a shame for the lawyers that do that, the victims are not accompanied by a trafficker, but by a lawyer. The lawyer goes with the victim to the police, to the doctors, and to all the administrative office in order to issue a clearance and work legally, okay, as a prostitute. So when this girl or woman tries to escape his traffickers, he does not trust lawyers at all, because she doesn't know even if this lawyer is a part of the problem or not. So earning the trust is very important, and of course this help to this point, we have a very important help from the NGOs that are the main partner of us. The NGOs find the victims, and the NGOs mostly comes to us and talks about the case and get us involved. The second thing is to make the victim feel safe and comfortable, which is continuation of the trust. Comfortable to speak out about what happened to her, and to give you all the details, all the difficult details. And you know, even though at the beginning, a few years ago, when I started dealing with those cases, I strongly believe that having a woman in the room at the beginning of the interview will be very helpful. Unfortunately, it turned out, according to my experience, and I have interviewed a lot of these women, it's not. Because they feel more ashamed when a woman is in the room than a man, because I don't know why, I'm not a woman, I cannot understand that, but the fact is that they feel more comfortable and more ease to talk about their problem and about what have really happened to them without the presence of a woman. The next thing is to know the truth, the whole truth, because in some cases, there are small details that the victims think and strongly believe that will harm them, and that they are not willing to discuss with anyone. And if you don't know that, and if you don't know the whole truth, then the truth will eventually come up in court, from the defendant or from his lawyers, and you will be surprised by that, and you cannot sometimes react properly. So this is very important. The next thing is, while talking to them, to make them understand the upcoming criminal procedure, to explain to them in details what will happen next in the criminal procedure that is just started or is about to start, so that they will be comfortable during all the stages of the criminal procedure, to feel comfortable about what will happen when they will go and testify at the police station or at the investigation judge or even before the court. And they should know the details and how all this happens, so that they will be ready, and this is a way that they will react properly and that they will have the ability to tell the truth, to answer the questions, and to give the proof that the court needs in order to convict the trafficker. So, in Greece we have two stages, mostly in the criminal procedure. This is the preliminary procedure, with the police questioning and the investigation judge questioning. Mostly the police is the first authority that the victims comes to meet. There are two ways. Even if the victim goes by his own initiative to file a complaint at the police station, this is when the victim manages to go away from his traffickers. This is very rare. The other is when the police have conducted an investigation on its own because of some information they have, in most cases from other organized crime teams against a competitor, and they find the victims at the places where they work or where they have been kept, locked sometimes, in order to be sexually exploited. So there are two possibilities for the police questioning before legal advice. That's before the victim has the opportunity to talk with us, so to be prepared, so to know what's coming, so to know how to respond, how to react, and all these things. This is the majority of the cases, and this is very important because the victim testifies for the first time. This testimony is the closest, timely speaking, to what have happened to her. So the judges tend to believe that this testimony is the most accurate because it's closer to the events. It's without legal advice, because judges tend to believe that when there is legal advice, even to the victim or the defendant, he, she testifies otherwise, and because it's spontaneous. This is not the truth, of course, because in that case it depends on the accuracy and the, how to call it, it depends on the policeman who takes the testimony, how good is at his job, how well he has been trained, if he is trained for human trafficking, and in what condition is the victim to testify, which is something that the police cannot count. If the victim is in a good position to testify, if the victim feels safe to testify, the victim can be asked the correct questions in order to collect and have all the needed evidence. Because in most cases, when the victim does not complain its own complaint, and the police finds the victim feels very unsafe. The victim is very reluctant to talk to the police because of the brainwashing of the trafficker, that the police is with the traffickers. The second and the most rare occasion is that the victim goes to the police questioning after legal advice. This happens when a victim gets away from its traffickers and manages to go to a shelter or an NGO and seeking for help, then the NGO will come to us and we will have the opportunity to make the victim trust us, to know what is going to happen next, and to be prepared for testifying before the police. The second preliminary procedure is the investigation judge questioning. According to the Greek procedure law, after the police questioning, the prosecutor will prosecute the defendants and the case will go before an investigation judge, but will, in most cases, will call again the victim and have the victim testify against. There are also the possibilities before legal advice, and that's for cases that the investigation judge takes on the case before an NGO involved and before legal advice. The problems are the same, more or less. Of course, the investigation judge is more accurate and more prepared to have a better questioning of the victim. But there is also a problem that the investigation judge has already in front of him, here, a testimony of the police. So in most cases, they just call the victim just to repeat the same testimony or to question the victim if they have any problems with the previous testimony. Of course, after legal advice, and if the victim and the NGO has turned to us, the victim will go to the investigation judge prepared, knowing what else she has to testify, all the details, all the things that really matters for the case, and maybe all the offenses, because there are many victims that not only been trafficked for sexual exploitation, rape, beaten, etc., etc., which is everyday stuff in such cases. So the victim must go to the investigation judge and tell the whole truth and tell all the offense against her. The next step is the courtroom. And there has been a very big discussion, even today, about how many times does the victim has the victim to testify. They are testifying before the police, they are testifying before the investigation judge, and they have to testify before the court. And of course, today we have forgotten about the Court of Appeal. They have to testify even before the Court of Appeal if the defendant appeals the first instance decision. There, as you can see, you should prepare the victim for two kinds of questions. The judges and the DA questioning, which are the good guys, let's say like that, because they are trying to find out the truth. They have nothing against the victim. In most cases, they feel good at it. They feel that they should help the victim, and they also feel that they should protect the victim from the questioning of the defendant or the defendant lawyers. The second one is the defendant's attorney's questioning, which is, of course, more cruel, because they're trying to prove to the court that the client is innocent. Here comes some of the stuff that we have already discussed today. For example, the questions that can and must be applied to the victim, such as if the victim was a prostitute before being sexually exploited by the defendant, or if the victim continues to be a prostitute after the case. In my opinion, such questions are irrelevant with the case, because it's irrelevant with the case if a woman was a prostitute before he has been sexually exploited, because being a prostitute does not mean that you cannot be sexually exploited after that from a trafficker, but we get a girl that worked as a prostitute by its own will, by her own will, and get to another country working for him without her own will, without being paid, without have any opportunity to do what she wants. So even prostitutes can be victims of trafficking for sexual exploitation. And of course, it's absolutely relevant with the case of a woman that was not originally a prostitute, has been made to be a prostitute by traffickers, afterwards continues for several reasons, for money, because that has happened for a lot of years and she cannot find another job. It doesn't mean that she has not been sexually exploited before. The other problematic question, subject of questions, is about her life during the time that she was trafficked. Because even judges and also other people tend to believe that when a woman becomes a victim of trafficking, she is held locked or chained 24 hours a day, or she's been punished, beaten, or threatened through the whole day. This is not true. This cannot be like that, especially in cases that they have a certain time period that this happens. Most of the women, during all this time, has their personal time. They have to go out. They even have the opportunity to go and eat with their traffickers or with other girls that have been also trafficked. And we have a lot of cases. You know, I think that you should know that in Greece we have Bouzoukia. We have a lot of cases. Bouzoukia is a Greek way of clubbing. We have a lot of cases that women, during the period that they have been trafficked, they have gone out. And the trafficker take the girls to Bouzoukia and have photographs. We also have examples that the trafficker got married with its victim. Or the victim fall in love with its trafficker. All of these are things that the defendant tries to raise at the criminal court in order to prove that there is no trafficking in this case. In my opinion, all of these are irrelevant, and in many cases, there are evidence that have been prepared from the defendant and from the traffickers through the whole period of trafficking, just to have them in case that they will be before the judge. The next important thing, which is relevant to today's debate about how many times a victim should testify, is if you have a possibility, the legal possibility, to represent the victim by power of attorney for the court, is it right to do so? Is it right not to have the victim testify in person before the judge? According to the Greek law, there are two things. If the victim is a civil claimant and has a lawyer, the lawyer can represent the victim as a civil claimant even before the criminal court. But the victim is also a witness, and as a witness cannot be represented by someone else. So, even if the court, even if the law gives you the opportunity to represent the victim, I think that the victim is obliged, according to law, as a witness, to be there in person and to testify in person. And I also believe that this is the proper way of the things, because the judge should see the victim by its own eyes, his own eyes, should hear the victim, and see the reactions of the victim even at difficult questions from the attorneys of the defendant, because this is the only way to find out the truth. See the victim, hear the victim. And you know, in Greece, someone may ask, this cannot be exchanged with a videotaped testimony before the investigation judge or in a preliminary stage, even with the presence of the defendant and his lawyers. According to Greek law, there is such possibility. We have changed our law in 2013, and the victims of trafficking may testify in a preliminary stage, and this testimony being recorded in video, and this be presented before the court or before the other occasions. As far as I know, this has not been a case, has not been applied in any case in Greece yet, even if it's 4 years old. So I don't know if it's better or not to have a video presented before the court, because we didn't have the opportunity yet. But I believe that this will solve a lot of problems if we can do that. Because, you know, in Greece we have a very big delay between the point that the criminal procedure starts and ends. And even from the starting point till the first hearing at court, it can be a few years. So it will be better in all aspects to have at the first stage, when the facts are clear and fresh, a videotaped testimony so that the victim can testify all the things that can remember then, and have it videotaped so that the future judge can see the reactions, can see and hear the victim, even through video, or even to compare the video with a live testimony before the court. Because after a few years, the thing is that the victim won't be the same, the victim won't be the same vulnerable, the victim won't be the same emotional, the victim even maybe don't care so much. It depends on the years, and it depends on how her life will go. And at this, we also have the postponements of the hearings that in Greece are very common, and trial in Greece can be postponed 3, 4, and 5 times, 5 to 6 or 8 months each time, which means that the victim should come and come again at the courtroom, wait for the trial, and the trial being postponed, see the trafficker being in the procedure to be prepared for the trial again and again and again and again, which is, this is also a secondary victimization. The preparation of the trial each time, it's a secondary victimization for all these victims. And of course, what I said before, we don't have also the first instant court, we have also the Court of Appeal, which means another few years for the victim to come and be prepared again for the Court of Appeal, the postponements and all that. And of course, we have the thing of the victim's relocation. In most cases, the victims depart from Greece for their home country or for another country, and it is very difficult to locate them, to talk to them, and to persuade them to travel back to Greece and see the traffickers, and being questioning about what happened a few years earlier, even knowing that this travel may happen twice or maybe more in order to get a trial at last and get someone convicted for what happened to them. And of course, we have a lot of cases, because of the years past, that have a new life. A lot of them has been married, they have children, and they have a new life, maybe in Greece, maybe somewhere else. They are very reluctant to talk to their husband, their family, to their children about the case and about being trafficked in the past. And they don't want to have anything to do with the case. They want to forget about the case. They don't want to come to the court to testify. They don't want anything to do with that part of their past lives. So this is, of course, a problem, because if they won't come for one or two hours, they will be imposed of a penalty from the court, or even worse, the court will take place without their testimony and the defendant will be acquitted, and wrongfully acquitted. The other big thing that is very challenging for us is a compensation thing. We have the legal framework that the victims can be compensated, not by the state, of course, but from the defendants, from the traffickers, both from the criminal court with seizure, with compensation comes from what have been seized during the police investigation. If money has been seized, this money can be the compensation for the victims, or through the civil procedures, through the civil courts. The practical difficulties are mostly known to all of you. Very rarely the traffickers has anything on their account, or very few money actually being seized in any police investigation, at least at least. So going to the criminal court, there's nothing to compensate the victim because there's no money seized. And going to the civil court is not a luxury, but not cheap procedure that will take a few years. During the years the victim does not actually have to come to Greece or to participate somehow in the procedure, but even if you manage to have a court decision, you also have to find a way to collect the compensation from the trafficker, which is something in most cases impossible. Okay, the lawyers, we have also some difficulties. One of them are distinguished the victims, because not all women working as prostitutes or declaring that they are victims of trafficking are really victims of trafficking, because there are a lot of examples and a lot of cases where we have false complaints in order to get characterized as victim of trafficking, which has some benefits in Greece as in other countries, papers to stay legal in Greece, etc., etc. This, of course, is mostly the NGO's job that has been done before they came to us, but we have also had to do our share of the job. As an example, I can say that in a few days there is a trial in Greece where two Ukrainians are being accused for people smuggling, and they said that they are also the victims of trafficking. And the problem is that, the thing is that in Ukraine, it has been officially recognized as victim of trafficking. And now we have a trial in Greece where these two people that have already been recognized as victims of trafficking are being accused as smugglers. We'll see what happens in a few days. The other thing is to realize the cases to go after. I have already talked about that, to see if there is only trafficking or if there are other offenses. And of course, the victims' non-punishment clause. This is a very big discussion. There's a lot that have been said today. This has also, the Convention of 2005 has been a Greek law since 2013. Also, the Greek Parliament voted and made the convention in a Greek law. Until now, 4 years later, we have no provision in our criminal penal code to see what happens. We are arguing that at the courts about this, but the courts, having no provision of the Greek law, what to do, they're just denying it. So the next is statistics. I didn't think that anyone is really interesting. The next is the protections of the victims of trafficking, which are the rights. And I put it here because one thing that as lawyers have to do is to explain to the victims what their rights are in order to know what they can do. Okay, here are the key players that we have to cooperate: the police, the DA, the investigation judge, the National Center for Social Solidarity, ECA, and A21 is an NGO and other NGOs, but A21 is the most active NGO in Greece. It provides not only shelter and legal legal support. Closing, because I think that I have passed my time. Okay, I would just say that in Greece there is a provision and law for legal aid which is free for the victims, which is unfortunately very low in, how to say it, the lawyers are not very experienced, not to mention being specializing in human trafficking. So this is a case that there is there in the book, but it's not actually working. And we have the NGOs that are trying to get lawyers to do the job. Thank you very much. Thank you.